Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Stephen the Warman Writes Kickfighting Podcast Show. I'm your host, Stephen the Warman. You are listening to this podcast in one of two ways. Either you are at my direct blog, which is lordgaul.podbean.com. I upload a podcast to it once a week. I'm doing a little bit different this week. I know I've been telling you guys I've been trying to do one every week all the way through March, and I was a little bit late. The only reason why I was a little bit late is I wanted to be close enough to the Glory card to do a preview show, and I'm going to come back on Sunday and then do another show. I want to kind of have, you know, kind of the back-to-back feel of after fight or an after the bell or after the card kind of show right away, just to kind of get my thoughts in there. So I just want to do a little bit different. But the blog is the first way. The second way is, of course, to enter the show into the iTunes search engine, enter Warman Kickfighting Show, and my podcast pops right up. Also, I guess we can mention a third. Combat Press has been putting the link up to my blog. They've been putting the direct link up to the episode weekly. Definitely shout out to Combat Press. We appreciate them. I do this because I love it. I love to get the sport of kickboxing, Muay Thai. I love to get that out there to the people. And I've got another great show for you today. Going to go ahead and jump right into it. We will start off with some results. Infusion had a show this past weekend. Show went down in Holland, and let's go ahead and just I'll go from the bottom up. I want to talk about all the fights. Sefyan Kodori gets a victory over Kang Super Pro at 60 for the 63kg title. Kodori is one of the, you know, rising Moroccan stars that they have. They've this huge Moroccan community in Holland and France. So you're starting to see a lot more participants in combat sports. Shout out to Kodori for the big win. We'll see what happens moving forward. 63 kgs isn't very deep for Infusion right now, so I'm going to have to see some commitment to the weight class. But, you know, the better fighters are trying to get opportunities in, you know, K1 or even Glory, even though Glory's they too are struggling around that weight class, working on it, but struggling around that weight class. But it's a good win for Kodori. You know, he can always throw enough and be rough enough with some of the Thai style, some of the Moroccan guys, when they get into their offense. If they don't have that smooth kickboxing flow throughout the fight, if they have opposition that makes it nasty, they can get nasty too, you know. And Kodori was able to get a victory here and win the 63kg title. Sheena Wendershoven gets victory over Katrine DeHeimer. Wendershoven is always been good for the promotion. She's got, you know, really sneaky switch kick with her lead leg. You know, she does a good job of throwing, combo flurries and ending on a kick. She doesn't have your typical 1-2-3 low kick, you know, kind of style, or double hook low kick or hook low kick. She'll play with that here and there. Plays with teeps and long strikes a little bit more. For her, it's just about depth in the division and things that showcase her, because Sheena's got the look. Like, she could be a star for them. Denise Kielholz was just a perfect package of everything. Denise Kielholz, or Denise Kielholz, depending upon who you ask. She's very physically attractive, and she has a good combat style. Like, people want to watch her fight after they see her perform. So that is the goal, I would say, with, you know, Sheena, and she has it. Like, she has it. You look at her, you're like, man, this is a beautiful woman who's really good at fighting. They just got to do some things to showcase her. A tournament wouldn't be a bad idea. Maybe let her fight in Lion Fight a few times. There's some opportunities there. It's just about getting her brand out there, because she definitely has the tools. I mean, she's got the fight style. For the most part, she's got the look. So it's just about getting her out there more. And they did a good job of pushing Kielholz. They've got to do a good job of pushing Sheena too. Armin Havahanajian, I believe I got that right, Havahanajian, gets a victory over Musette Durin. And as I mentioned before, there's a big Moroccan community, in France and in Holland. You will also start to see a lot of guys who are, I believe if I'm correct, he's Armenian. It's an Armenian-sounding name. I'm not sure what fight team he's out of, but he's a guy to look for. Just a guy in the card. I'm like, all right, I want to see more from you. So wasn't able to get all the fights live, but I definitely want to see more of this. Actually, because of the difficulty of watching Infusion fights, it hasn't worked out for me as well as far as getting them live, but thank you to people who've been recording stuff on Facebook. I've been able to catch some of the fights here and there. So good congrats to Armin. The next fight's a weird one. Luis Tavares gets a victory over Yagish Yagoyan. The reason why this is weird is Tavares was clearly the better fighter, gets his hands raised, gets the decision. But he had this really weird, I mean, almost unacceptable, you know, tactic where he was, I guess he was joking around. They fell in a weird spot, and he ended up landing on top of Yagish. And then he gets up, and then he pretty much does, like, you know, a butt sit and just sits on him, you know. I've heard some, you know, WWE, you know, jokes about Rikishi and you know, Yokozuna and big guys who sit on people, you know. But he did it, and then Yagish was down even more because I think some of it's just, even if it wasn't the most painful thing from, you know, the eye, maybe Yagoyan wasn't ready for it at all. But he looked like he was affected by it. He was able to, you know, go on afterwards. But I'm not sure what you're thinking of that, Tavares. Were you joking? Were you upset by something? I mean, it just came off weird. So, you know, I can't remember what my Twitter comments were, but I was just like, I can't believe that just happened. You know, just a really weird thing to do, you know. Shout out to you going for continuing, but I just thought that was just a weird move. I'm not sure what Tavares is thinking there. Tavares is a talented guy. Of course, we want to see him compete more. Opposition will matter. You know, he struggled with some of the better guys in the world, but I guess it's just about being active, and we'll see kind of where he goes from there. But really, the story of that fight for anybody watching is the gif that went around of him sitting on Yagoyan's chest. It was just weird. Ishmael Lazar gets a victory over Atha Kasapis. Kasapis actually is a pretty good victory for Lazar. Lazar is a small-framed guy. Like, he's a wide guy, but he's 5'9". And he's got a decent low kick, and he throws, you know, the big-time hooks and stuff over the top. So he's usually able to, if you allow him to get into, like, you know, let him go guns blazing, Lazar will get you out of there. His trouble, of course, is he's been losing to elite guys. This is a guy who I think is a serviceable guy who Kasapis had all the tools and could have possibly, you know, got a victory here. But Lazar was professional, was able to take care of business in this one. Definitely surprised by it. Not surprised by the outcome, but surprised that Lazar hasn't really had, I guess it's kind of a stay busy fight, but I'm surprised at this point that he hasn't made a decision on what he wants to do physically. There's a lot of commentary has been jumping on him about his weight. And in this fight in particular, this car in particular, they talked about how Vinny Shorman was very, very aggressive in terms of, you know, critiquing things that he had saw. And whenever he sees Lazar, he says it all the time. This guy, if he's going to compete, I mean, he's going to be a bigger dude. But if he's going to be a bigger dude, maybe he should be bigger at 5'9 in the 230s. But he can get himself up there. And, you know, I guess that's the biggest thing. How disciplined is he to that part of his life? But we'll see. He's still able to get some victories. And if you allow him, he'll give you a big-time KO like you've never seen. You know, we've got the main event now. And in that fight, we're going to talk about Muhammad Kamal as he gets a victory over Jam Tong. The victory over Jam Tong was, for me, legit. Sometimes whenever you get a tie, I look on Twitter and I'll see a lot of people say, well, you know, the tie actually won and, you know, they didn't give him any due to his head movement and they didn't earn to not getting hit and he scored clean with the body kicks and he should have won. You know, the crowd that's out there. Nothing against them, but they are who they are and they know who they are. Muhammad Kamal, for me, won this fight clear. I gave him all the rounds, but I thought the rounds were close. He was really, really good with his single low kick game. He played boxing and spots, but really he played single low kicks. Jam Tong didn't battle them back. And anytime Jam Tong kicked him, his kick return game was on point. So when he got kicked, he kicked back immediately. So he kept taking that off the scorecard, or what I call, when I teach at my gym, I call it taking something off the scorecard. If somebody kicks you and you kick him right back, nothing happened. It's evened up us. You didn't allow them to move forward because you had the return. So Kamal was doing a good job of going first. And anytime Jam Tong kicked him, he kicked him right back. I just thought it was good, steady performance from him. You know, he's He's still one of the better fighters in the world. This is a guy who retired for a little bit and came back, but he's still a pretty young guy. So I always want to see Muhammad Kamal fight. Hopefully, I guess the Super Bond is the one that they announced now. That is awesome because Super Bond's like probably the best in the world, you know, at the weight class. You know, clearly there's some debate and there's some guys out there for him to compete with. Of course, Super Bond, he's beat Sinichai, but he didn't get the fight, you know, Petrosian or anything like that. But Super Bond's legit. If Kamal beats him, that will blow me away. Like, that would just surprise me. But Kamal's got a great resume. He's, you know, got big-time wins in this sport. He got to the K-1 World Grand Prix, beating Artur Kachinko in the elimination. He's got victory over Jahid Alawash, Liam Harrison, Robin Van Roosmalen. Kamal was the man back in the day. And then his buzz went away when he retired for a little bit. I think his last fight was for Slam. And then the Slam that they did the Holland versus Thailand cards. So after that outing against Sayuk, I want to say, he disappeared for a little bit. And now he is back and he's being consistent and Infusion's using him. He could be a star in the sport. And whether he fights for K1 or Glory or Infusion, I just want him to be active and fighting the best in the world. And Super Bond is a reflection of the best in the world. We're going to go ahead and leave that card. Going to go ahead and talk about some notes here going down in the kickboxing world. First, I want to mention that we can all rest. There is an answer to the question, what organization is going to pick up Chingiz Alazov? Chingiz Alazov has been the best fighter unsigned by a major organization for years. You know, this is a guy who... there was a short-lived promotion called Fight Code, and they came right after K1 was having their most difficult financial trouble. The whole organization was Italy-based, for the most part, and in that organization, they had pushed it on Armin Petrosian was in the tournament, and George Petrosian was doing super fights. But really, it was about George Petrosian. You know, it was about those guys, because it was Italy-based and so on, and then they filled it with other people. Chingiz Alazov used to get on the undercards. He's 18, 19 years old, and he would just absolutely murder guys. And when it first happened, I was like, he's shown me all the skill, but I need to see him against better opposition. And I remember Ryan Scullia, who I do the Hipster Boxing podcast with, he was on my show back in the day, and he was talking about how Alazov was one of his guys, and he was really impressed with how well he was able to blow those guys out, even though the opposition wasn't high. I wanted to see more, and I got to see more. Over the years, Alazov got some big-time victories against some better names. I was just waiting to see if anybody would pick him up. And everybody, just for whatever reason, went with whatever athletes, and Alazov didn't get his opportunity. And then I see that the K1 tournament is announced, and I see his name is on the list, and my hands go to this guy. It is just awesome. This tournament's got some good names in it. Jordan Watson, Yoshiro Kido, Sonny Dalback, Jordan Piquet, who is the Quest champion at 70 kgs. Hinata's in here. It's a really good tournament. Now, again, it's not... If Glory put together a tournament right now, I'd say Chingiz and Sonny Dalback would definitely have success against the better guys in Glory. But I don't think all of them would win, and I do think that Sinichai would be the best of a tournament between them both. Because I'm not including Petrosian, because I really don't really know how to explain his situation with Bellator kickboxing and so on. But this is a good field. This is a decent field, and they're going back to the Saitama Arena, which means they might do a little bit bigger. They can open that up, and I remember they're saying they're going to do kind of like a big, you know, World Grand Prix next year in March, but they could at least open this up to 15,000 if they want to at Saitama, and they've got enough local names. Now, clearly, I'm not going to go into the breakdown of the fights. I just love this event. Go ahead and add some super fights, you know what I'm saying? You know, get your Misaki Norris on that card to fill the in-between, you know, get your Takura, the Takurus. That's what you need to build this. But big-time stuff, I was really, really pumped to see that was announced. And I'm excited to see moving forward what this tournament looks like. And I'm really happy for Chingiz Alazov, who would be my favorite to win that tournament. I want to mention this fight. I'm not going to talk about the whole card, but Richard Abraham is going against Jamie Bates in a welterweight bout. Jamie Bates won a UK Glory Road to Glory event, you know, and so they're cashing in that right away. But the thing I want to mention is Richard Abraham. Richard Abraham, of course, coming off of a loss, but he is a U.S.-based fighter, and if there's one thing that Glory has been doing way too much of, is they're making the American cards look like American cards, and their other cards look like the reflection of the best fighters in the world. In my opinion, if they want to, and they're doing it because they're trying to develop USA Kickboxing, which is, it's a goal. It's something that you have to invest in. So that makes sense to me. But this move right here is the best way to move towards that goal. Richard Abraham going against Jamie Bates is huge because Jamie is a, you know, seasoned, solid kickboxer who's excited about this opportunity. And Richard Abraham is a guy from the States who's got some fights, but we just don't get enough fights to close the gap. So when they get to the highest level, they don't have the fights and they don't have the experience to win those bouts. But if you give them the opportunity to at least compete in it, they can see where they are. And Abraham, who, you know, just lost to Pinto close, he did beat Pavel Jacek. So now it's just really, I believe that guy's name's Pavel. But so now it's just about him going out there and competing against someone in Europe again, but out of our home base of America. We got to get that talent international so they can get that feel, they can see it, maybe they do some training out there, but those are things that we got to do to close the gap. Number one, we've got to get local promoters to take on kickboxing for sure, but which is tough because MMA is kind of a king here in America, boxing or MMA, but I'd say MMA for the middle of the country. But man, it's just, it's awesome. It's awesome to see that they decided to bring him out there and give him this opportunity, because that means they're using their American talent better. Before that, what? Joe Schilling's the only guy that they consider bringing him out of the country. And I don't even think they brought Joe Schilling out of the country. Dustin Jacoby fought in Japan one time, I remember. But like, for the most part, they do not give American guys the opportunities to compete, you know, international. And they just kind of keep them for the at-home base. This is a move in the right direction. Good stuff there for sure. I'm going to go ahead and move. I don't want to get into the Glory card just yet. I guess I'll get into the Glory card. I was thinking about adding on one other thing, but I'm fine with it. Let's go ahead and hop into this Glory card. There's a lot of good stuff happening. We've got... Sorry about that. Just mixing my notes up. Sorry. Let's go ahead and hop into that Glory card. It's going down this weekend. We're in Brussels, so we're in Belgium. We've got a good card going on. I'll go ahead and start from the bottom up as I see it. Kilian Moulin goes against Quigao Meng, or Meng Quigao. Meng is a guy who, of course, if you've known, he fought at a smaller weight, so I was a little surprised that he was in this lightweight bout. But he fought against Sitichai, and no shame in that. You know, Sitichai is the man. I'm curious to see how he does. He's got a thinner frame. I didn't think that he was physically strong enough. I watched Killian fight a couple times. He's got some things online. Both guys are going to kind of be showing me something in this one. I don't have something huge to say about either guy going into it because, this is Moulin's first kind of, you know, step up. Opportunity Meng stepped up against Sitichai, but this is a weight class above that. I'm curious to see how this one shakes out. You know, a gun to my head, I would pick Killian to win this one, but I definitely think Meng is capable. He's a solid kickboxer. Next fight in the card, I'm going to go ahead and eat my words. I thought that there was no chance in the world that Hezekiah Higgins and the Chai Lewis Perry fight was going to happen. Just something always happens with Lewis Perry's fights, whether it was an injury or something, you know, like some sort of situation will come into play where he would end up getting somebody different, because that's what happened all last year. So I cracked the joke on Twitter. There's no way this fight happens. Looks like this fight's happening, unless a meteor hits one of these two between today and tomorrow. To me, this is an easy call. Hezzy Hergas is a more talented kickboxer. He's got more kickboxing skill. Chai Lewis Perry is, you know, relying upon his ability to land one big shot. And he's athletic enough to land that shot. But as far as steady kickboxing goes, Hezzy Hergas should be able to win this one. But I'm telling you, Perry can definitely crack Hezzy and put him down. And Hezzy's been a hit and put out before. So it could be interesting as far as that goes. But man, if we're going to go off of just straight kickboxing, Hezzy Hergas is the easy call on this one. We move on to some young up-and-coming prospects as we get our second look of Tijani Bastati as he goes against Sabri Hania. And let me tell you guys something. This is going to be the fight of the night on the card for me. This is going to be the entertaining fight. You know, Bastati looked great early. He's, you know, when he went against Idris Brule, he was able to score the knockdown early, and then he faded late, and then Brule's all over him in that last round. Made it a pretty entertaining fight, and because the card was going great, you know, as far as the flow of that card, until, of course, the main event, and, you know, I love female fighting, but that wasn't the best offering from the women that night. Bastati showed a lot of tools, but showed a lot of skill, tall, lean. He's going to have to keep fighting, going to have to build muscle, probably going to need a strength conditioning coach, or actually, you know, if he's old school, he's going to have to hit up the pull-ups and the push-ups if he's got an old school coach. But when I looked at Sabri Henny and I was refreshing myself of his skill set, he's a savvy kickboxer. He does some good stuff. He, too, has a longer frame. He's got some sneaky stuff in the way he scores his right hands. He hides his knees pretty well, decent with the low kick game. Not great with it, but decent with the low kick game. I think this is going to be an entertaining bout. As far as action goes, this fight has the best possible opportunity, in my personal opinion, to be the fight of the night. You know, I'm leaning towards Hania pulling off the upset, but this is just an all-action, sit back and enjoy. It should be a lot of fun. We move on to the Gregorians. Both the Gregorians are based out of Belgium. You know, they've fought all over the world, and I think at least, if not both, one of them has been fighting at Hemmer's Gym. And, of course, Hemmer's Gym's not that far away because Holland is, you know, right there. Very, very easy for the Belgian fighters to get to. These guys will... the opposition they got, not necessarily the greatest. Murat Gregorian is going against a guy in a... Anton Petrov from Bulgaria. Bulgaria is not necessarily known for being a kickboxing hotbed. They produce some guys here and there, but no one real standout-ish. I do expect Murat Gregorian to win, and I actually expect him to stop Petrov. I think it's what the people want to see because that audience is definitely going to be very pro-Murat Gregorian. And then as we move into the welterweight bout with Pavel Garage and Murat Gregorian, Garage is from Slovakia, and Slovakia actually has some pretty good local promoters that get these guys active all the time. But to keep the pace of the Gregorians, who, I mean, they just keep coming. They just keep walking you down. They take whatever you throw, combination kick. You feel like you're fighting so much. Garage could have moments. He might even score a shot here and there. I just don't see him keeping Murat Gregorian off of him, and I think that he, too, will get a stoppage. So back-to-back, I've got both Gregorians winning by stoppage in this one. Not saying, and you know, it's 9 minutes, so I could see the guys going the distance, but that pressure opens up so much offense for them, and the next thing you know, you're trying to get them to run into something, and you just hit their guard strong, and they put combination low kick behind it, and then you bail after that kick, and the next thing you know, you're getting hit on your bail because they've just got you so figured it out. The Gregorians are tough. They've always been tough. They, you know, from back to It's Showtime when they were first getting those opportunities, these young men have brought it. And they're still relatively young guys, mid-20s. So I'm excited to see what happens as we, you know, follow their careers down the road. Main event for the Fight Pass portion of the card is Sitichai versus Dylan Salvador. I believe this is the third or fourth time they're fighting. Third for sure. I can remember two other fights. One Sitichai, one Salvador won. The thing that helps Salvador is he southpaws well. So when the fight that he won, he just sold out on the low kick. Everything he did was, I'm going to have a low kick behind it. He threw aggressive with the combos in the pocket, but then he followed with the low kick. Sitichai is Sitichai. He's always going to be fine. His offense, his step knees, he'll be subtle enough. Even if he loses a round, he's patient. He'll find his moments. He lost round one to Gregorian, and then he figured it out after that, ran him into some step knees, ran him into, you know, some straight lefts, got his boxing going. I expect him and Salvador to hit each other. I expect this to be a good, entertaining fight because Salvador knows what he has to do. For me, this is Salvador. You know, he's one of my favorite guys from the Nasser K gym in France, and I've always been a fan of his because he showed me the tools early on that he could be a kickboxer too, because that's a full rules Muay Thai gym, and they do kickboxing for the stand-up, you know, combat sport opportunities. So, you know, him going to the tournament last week didn't surprise me. He's a very talented guy, in Germany in December. Him going to that tournament didn't surprise me, despite the fact that I had another guy winning that tournament. But he's legit. He's a very, very good fighter. Sidichai, man, this is a pick'em fight for me. I'm going to go Sidichai. My heart wants to go Salvador because I know that he has the aggression to do it. But I just feel Sidichai, I feel so much more confident with his consistency than I do Salvador's. I think that Salvador goes out there, he fights the right fight, and he fights it aggressively, he wins. But I think Sidichai just goes out there and beats him, you know, is just himself. And he's probably going to beat 99% of the people in the world to weight class. So awesome stuff. I'm excited to see what happens in this one. Should be a fun bout. We move into the main card. Main card, we got us a four-man tournament, one super fight, the usual, and then one title fight at the top. We start off with Nafia Belalovsky, as he goes against ex-champion Sahir Adamchuk or Sergey Adamchuk. Adamchuk, of course, is a guy who is one of their mainstays in their featherweight division. He is a guy who was champion, lost the title. He actually has a victory over Murat Gregorian at lightweight, which he took on short notice just because he wanted the opportunity. They decided to use him. He won a tournament. He went on. He fought for the title and won it, and then he ended up losing it down the road. He had some really good outings, victories over Masab Amrani. Just a talented guy who's one of the slicker kickboxers on the planet. Really good counter game. Finds his offense very sneaky. He can play combinations and low kicks, but really he throws you off with his movement and his boxing. And anytime you throw your power hand, you pretty much get hit afterwards. He's just very, very crafty, very, very smart. Belalovsky is slick. I mean, he's quick. I'd say quicker more than I'd say he's slick as far as how he finds his offense. And he's capable. I just don't think he's the level of Adamchuk. And when he throws any kind of anything, the counter from Adamchuk is coming. Now, Adamchuk's inactivity, the fact that he doesn't throw as much volume, I should say, could work against him. So I wouldn't be surprised if Belalovsky was able to pull off an upset here. But I'm definitely going to go with Adamchuk. I definitely think he has the skill set to win this one and go to the finals. He will then go to the finals where he will fight Kiat Munkau or Alexei Alianov. Alianov is a talented dude. I've seen him fight a few times. I've seen him fight in Tatneft. He's got a couple of things where, you know, if ordinary Kulibin, where he's got the full Thai rules or whatever. I just don't, because he's got the Muay Thai background, I think it's going to be so much tougher for him to catch up with Kiat Munkau. And it's Pechfum Rang Kiat Munkau. I've just been calling him by the gym name. I believe his actual fight name is Pechfum Rang. And Pechfum Rang is got the Thai style, fought the best in the world. It's some of the best guys in the world. He is not going to see anything from Ulyanov's Muay Thai style that's going to, surprise him at all. If Ulyanov boxed a little bit more, and there are some fights where he offers that, I think that there could be a chance. But unless, he's just an absolutely, more physically dominant, he ain't gonna beat Pechfum Rang. He just doesn't have the skill set. I'm checking Pechfum Rang in the final, and I don't think that's going to be an entertaining fight at all. I guess I lean Adamchuk because of the European, maybe he can get the sway from the audience with being European, and maybe he could throw a little bit more boxing, but I don't think that's going to be aesthetically a good fight at all. I think Adamchuk versus Belalovsky is aesthetically going to be decently entertaining, but that main event between Adamchuk and Pechpan Rung, it's not going to be great. If it comes together, I'd be surprised. Now, again, a fight's a fight, and maybe Pechpan Rung would have been told by now, hey, don't just go out there and play points. You got to go after these guys. That's your best hope, audience. If you listen to this podcast, that's your best hope. But outside of that, I don't see it happening. We then move on to a super fight, a weird super fight at that, between Jamal Ben-Sadik against Gute and Asante. I'm glad that, again, Gute, you know, from Brazil, fought in America. He's getting a lot of opportunities. They're moving him well as far as giving him the opportunities. He hasn't put on the most entertaining of fights for me, you know, since getting the, you know, the spinning hook kick KO over Dennis. The Brian Doe's fight wasn't that great. The Hezdy Haggis fight was a fight that I leaned towards Hezdy. D'Angelo Marshall, he definitely won in that extra round. They're giving him the opportunities. He is healthy and competing, and I think that this fight is going to be interesting because Jamal Ben-Sadik really does have the ability to beat a lot of the better heavyweight kickboxers in the world. And I watched him win by KO over Rico Verheeven years ago. I mean, it was like 7 years ago, but like, you know, I watched that happen. 6 years ago, 2011. I watched it happen. I watched it happen a lot. And since that moment, he's just been inconsistent. I thought there was no way that he was going to lose to Peter Hartz, but he did. I thought that Remy Majowski beat him, but he beat Remy Majowski. He just is able to catch his kicks because he is so much bigger and stronger. And then he counter-kicked him. You know, he just bigger, stronger, better guy. So shout out to Ben-Sadik coming off of the victory over Ismael Lant, where he was clearly the more prepared kickboxer. Ismael Lant, I think, was relying too much on finding a big KO shot. Ben-Sadik was able to find his big offense and still find, you know, low kicks here and there. This fight might not be the most aesthetically pleasing, but if they throw, it could be entertaining. I just don't see it happen at all. I think Asante is going to play touch and go and play with trick stuff here and there. We got another nasty-looking fight on our hands. We go to the main event, which I do think will be entertaining. It'll be strategic. Cedric Dumbe goes against Johan Kangulo again. The first time these guys met, Kangulo won. Cedric Dumbe, of course, coming off of a huge year, liver kick out of Fighter of the Year. He would have been in my top three for Fighter of the Year last year. Guy's been on fire, been fighting the best in the world. Beating Nicky Holtzkin, you know, it's a tall task. Like, that was a big-time victory. He's slick. He's got the mouth to sell himself. Doesn't have the KO pop, but, man, can he kickbox? Kangulo will be stronger. I think that this is a 3 rounds to 2 rounds kind of a fight. I'm leaning towards Dumbe because I think he's in that zone. I think he's got the confidence. I think he believes. And, again, he's got a victory over Kangulo. So it's not like he hasn't gotten his hand raised against him. But I'm leaning towards Cedric Dumbe to win this one and what should be a decently entertaining fight because of Kangulo's aggressiveness. But Dumbe's slick. He gets the moving, and he's an entertaining guy to watch. So I'm definitely curious to see how that one shakes out. So that's what's going down in Brussels. Should be an entertaining card. You guys, watch these kickboxing events. Get out there. Take the time. Make our sport great. You know, sell it, you know, to people who haven't heard of it. But, like, this is a guy to check out. This is a fight to check out. There's a lot of entertaining things. Shorter show today because, as I said before, I'm going to be right back on Sunday with a breakdown the day after the fight card. So I'm just going to give it a shot to see how people like it. Again, hit up Combat Press. My podcast will be on there. Also, hit up Combat Press for your combat sporting news. And also, hit up liverkick.com for kickboxing and Muay Thai news. And I guess I'll wrap the show up with one more shout-out to all the people who are on Twitter who watch the shows. Dave Falson and Jay Johnsey and all the different people who are invested in making sure kickboxing gets out there on a regular basis. You know, Kixi from China. I'm forgetting names, so please don't hate me. The GIF people who've been producing the GIFs, you know who you are. I'll definitely make sure I get a shout out to you in full next time. Keep listening to podcasts, keep following these individuals, keep going to their websites. We really do love the sports, and we are grateful that you guys are following, and we hope you love them just as much as we do. God bless everybody. Thank you for listening, and have a good one. Peace.